Andre Lewis and Ariel Boone. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke. Nirmeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gattis, Diener, Dina Gesder, Sam Alkoff, Rabbi Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, and Paul Huckabee, our engineer. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, David Prude. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Guests include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independent like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maud Barlow.
I continue to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
Change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and podcasting at w2media.ca. Good morning. You're listening to Media Mornings on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. I'm your regular host, Jane Bowie. Today's show is a Media Mornings special presentation. The history of Black people in Vancouver is storied, rich, and complex, and though representing less than 1% of the population, Black people's presence rallies for visibility 40 years after the destruction of Vancouver's only Black neighborhood, Hogan's Alley. In commemoration of February as Black History Month 2017, Angela Marie McDougall hosts Black Futures, discussions on themes and concerns of the African diaspora in Western Canada. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Jane.
It's great to have you here on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. February, as you said, is Black History Month, and it is the shortest month of the year, and so we like to take every opportunity to draw attention to Black people, and this is another one of those opportunities. And so thanks for this opportunity today to be able to connect with some women from within Western Canada to talk about Black futures.
Yeah, and getting into the studio today was a bit of a challenge given the weather, so I'm really glad you were able to make it. I started to envision how we might do this with you on the phone right. with all of our telephone guests. So.
Isn't that funny? Because, here we don't often, it's been a while since we've had this kind of snow, and it's been an adventure for those of us. And, of course, all of our friends east are laughing perpetually, and it's sad.
Yeah. It is, but it's Vancouver. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've got lined up for our show today?
Well, I am so excited to be able to have some conversations with some amazing Black women representing, Western Canada. And first off, we will talk with two women who are in Winnipeg, Treaty 1 territory. We have Adeline Bird and Alexa Jay, and they are just amazing young women who are doing incredible things. And they have organizing in Winnipeg. And one of the ways that they organize is through a space, which they call Black Space. So we will hear from them and what they're doing as far as, what I like to say is keeping it real and keeping it Black.
Yeah.
So they'll speak to that, which will be wonderful. And then we have Antonia, who will be here with Stephanie, and they are incredible women. Also, they will talk about some of the things that are happening in redressing some historical aspects of Hogan's Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And they will answer the question, are there any Black people in Vancouver? That is always the question. really getting to the part around recognition, honoring, access, and inclusion. So really looking forward to hearing from them. And we will wrap up the morning with my amazing co-worker, Teresa Thomas, at Battered Women Support Services. She's a counselor. And she, with an amazing woman named Amarachi, they have, they're starting a group, which is called Standing on the Points of Power, Self-Possession for Black Women. And Teresa and Amarachi will speak to that.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. We're going to start off the morning with some music, though.
Well, why don't we? I think that we've been talking a lot about fake news. So why don't we start with The Roots and false media?
All right.
Then we will weaken ourselves for what is really the issue. And then behind that all lies a very personal and human feeling that I don't think old men ought to promote wars for young men to fight.
America's lost somewhere inside of Littleton. 11 million children are on the Ritalin. That's why I don't need for the sake of Ritalin. False media, we don't need it, do we? Pilgrim, slave, Indian, Mexican. It looks real fucked up for your Mexican. That's why I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin.
If I can't work to make it, I'd rob and take it. Either that or me and my children is starving and naked. Rather be a criminal pro than a follow the matrix. Hey, it's me, the monster, y'all done created. I've been inaugurated. Keep the bright lights out of our faces. You can't shake it, it ain't a way to swallow the hatred. Ain't fire, holla, buy the dollar, nothing is sacred. We gon' pimp the shit out of nature. Send our troops to get my paper. Tell them stay away from them skyscrapers. Ain't long before you get y'all acres. I'ma show them who the global gangster. Sense me the FOMO, yes. Thank you. I'ma make you feel a little bit safer. Because it ain't over. See, that's how we get your fear to control you. But ain't nobody under more control than a soldier. And how could you expect a kid to keep his composure when all sorts of thoughts fall for exposure? Forget.
America's lost somewhere inside of Littleton. 11 million children are on Ritalin. That's why I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin. False media, we don't need. Pilgrim, slave, Indian, Mexican. It looks real fucked up for your Mexican. That's why I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin. False media, we don't need it, do we? America's lost somewhere inside of Littleton. 11 million children are on Ritalin. That's why I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin. False media, we don't need it, do we? Pilgrim, slave, Indian, Mexican. It looks real fucked up for your Mexican. Why don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin? False media, we don't need it, do we? America's lost somewhere inside of Littleton. 11 million children are on Ritalin. That's why I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin. False media, we don't need it, do we? False media, we don't need it, do we? False media, we don't need it, do we? False media, we don't need it, do we?
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
And we're back on the air right now. Hand it over to Angela.
You know, this conversation about Black futures in 2017, and it brings up the question about space. And having a sense of where Black people fit within colonial Canada, and understanding that our relationship to the land is complicated in part because of how colonization has been a factor globally and is a big factor in the diaspora and our experiences. And right now, I'd like us to take a minute, please, and to have a conversation with Alexa, who is a beatbox activist and a fourth-year graduate, undergraduate at the University of Winnipeg, who's majoring in human rights. She is an incredible woman who's been doing amazing things. I had a chance to meet her recently in Winnipeg, where she was the MC for the Women's March on Washington in Winnipeg. Good morning, Alexa. And I want to check also with Adeline Bird, who is African and Ojibwe from Rolling Hills First Nations, Manitoba. Adeline has a passion for social change and justice, and amazing young woman who has titled a book called Be Unapologetically You, a self-love guide for women of color. Welcome to the program, Alexa and Adeline.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good morning. So great to hear your voices. You know, please tell our listeners here in Coast Salish territory about Black Space in Winnipeg.
Sure, I can speak to that first, I guess. Black Space was founded first as like an online private group, just so I really felt the need that my friends and family members are experiencing a lot of similar day-to-day microaggressions, racism, and I just thought to create a safe space online where people can go and decompress, and then that came from that, like the Black Space Group came an initiative to stand in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, so we hosted a rally last summer, and from that just emerged a lot of local initiatives about taking up space in predominantly white-owned white facilitated areas in Winnipeg, which is basically everything. So we tried to, I guess the biggest thing we're working on now is Black History Month, with a lot of content we're doing, expressing the Black experience and the African experience through film. And we also partnered with QPOC Winnipeg, for people of color, and CCPA, Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, to bring Angelo Day this year, May 6th. So Black Space is just making sure that we're having adequate representation for the Black community and exploring our narratives authentically every single day.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Was that you, Alexa?
Yes, it's me. Sorry.
Yeah, great. That's great. Great to hear. Good to hear your voice. Adeline, tell me about how you've been working with Black Space.
Well, I mean, I met Alexa at Dear White People that she showcased at the University of Winnipeg. And from there, we kind of just became sisters. And so, you know, she said, I need some strong women being involved. Now, I am Afro-Indigenous, and I am very active in the Indigenous community here in Winnipeg. But something I recognize is there isn't enough leaders here in Winnipeg. So I've kind of stepped into taking lead along with Alexa, people like Alexa, Kelechi, and Uzo, and just being more involved and being active and just, you know, helping Alexa carry this on and make this something big, because it is. It's colossal. So that's why I'm involved.
That's fantastic. You know, tell us about your book, Be Unapologetically You, A Self-Love Guide for Women of Color.
So I'm a big lover of the higher consciousness community, anything personal development, and anything into spirituality. And something I recognize is a lot of people in the personal development world kind of have this this narrative that, you know, if you aren't successful, it's your fault, and it's because you're not doing X, Y, Z. And, you know, in some respects, there is a little bit of truth, but it misguides a lot of people when it comes to people of color, people from the LGBT community, and a lot of women, where we are, you know, systematically oppressed and not given the same opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I decided to share a little bit of my story and just showcase to women of color. And when I say women of color, I'm not just talking about black women. Let's get that straight. I'm talking about all women of color. That, you know, there are things that are going to set us back, that are designed to set us back. But here is a way to really uplift yourself and to show yourself love. Because when you start to walk in a position of self-love, everything that is designed to keep you in a certain position won't even matter. It will help you. Well, I mean, it will matter, but it will help you be strong enough and so good enough with yourself to be able to challenge some of the things that oppress you and keep you in a certain position.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Alexa, I know that you have hosted events, and one of the events was 1 month in our history, the search for the Afro-Canadian identity.
Yes.
How do you understand Afro-Canadian identity as a young woman in Winnipeg, if I may ask?
Oh, yeah. Well, I hosted that event last year because the conceptions around Black History Month, often in Canada, we always revert back to the States. So your Rosa Parks, your Martin Luther King,
right,
your Malcolm X, which obviously Black people across North America are going to share very similar experiences in the narrative of constant struggle and securing freedom and equality. But I think I just wanted to explore what it means to be Black, not only in Winnipeg, but in Canada. And I screened a couple of National Film Board of Canada documentaries, Journey to Justice and Sisters in the Struggle.
Yes.
And I'm still trying to, I guess, find my way and explore my identity as I identify as Black, but I'm biracial. And I think that there's a big cloud of, like, a misconception of identity to Afro-Canadians with African-Americans, and we always get swept under that narrative. So the biggest thing was just to make sure that people know about your history, like Hugh Burnett and Viola Desmond and a whole bunch of other amazing Canadian, Afro-Canadian leaders who have been paving the way. And we don't know about that. It's exempt. I often say Black people are exempt from the national narrative in many ways. And we never really know our history in Canada. And we have a rich, diverse history up here that also connects a lot with the struggles of our Indigenous people on our treaty lands. And it's time. It's just time that people know where they come from and their history authentically.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So for both of you, that we, you know, we're talking about Black history, and this today we want to talk about Black future. You know, in a few words, tell our listeners here in Coast Salish territory what you think is what does Black future mean for you?
Want to go ahead, Alexa?
Okay, me first.
Go ahead.
Black future. You know what? I would really like to see Black people across Canada mobilize and come together. I'm already seeing that happening, from what you folks are doing in Vancouver to Black Lives Matter Toronto to folks in the Maritimes and in the prairies. Like, there's a real need for safe space and entrepreneurship, and people are just creating their own initiatives, either through art or through business. And Black Future Month, oh my goodness, it's I keep saying this to all my friends, like, Black people are going to take over the world and take over Canada one step at a time. And I'm so for it, to bring an Afrocentric perspective to the Canadian culture. Oftentimes of how they portray Canada as, like, moose and maple syrup and a Eurocentric identity, and I obviously do not identify with that. So mobilization of our communities, collectively building together, is going to be the next step.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And Adeline?
I am 100% on that. And I am definitely one for entrepreneurship and creativity. I think it's important that more of us, and I foresee this, through art, through storytelling, and platforms such as this one, continuing to put ourselves out there and to build ourselves and build each other up as well. so that we can create the change and take back our narratives so that we're not being fallen under hockey and maple syrup and, you know, all of the stuff that doesn't, you know, speak to everybody. So for me personally, I really push for more people of color putting themselves out there in the media, in film, in writing books, really just putting and pushing our stories, making it known that we are here, we are loud, and we are proud.
Thank you. This has been great. Thank you so much, Alexa Joy and Adeline Bird, for joining us this morning on Black Futures here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Democracy
you.
North. I wish you all the good things.
Thank you.
You're listening to Media Mornings on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
That's right. Public Enemy number one. 20 years. Been a long and winding road, even though time keeps a changing. I'ma bring it all back home. I've been told I spit lyrics with politics, why wouldn't I? It says Negro on my birth certificate. Born in 1960 in the nation throughout. I've been a spokesperson for a generation within the same old fear of a black planet. 20 years of blood, sweat, no tears for fanatics. So damn it, if times is hard, time is God. Understand it, never took time for granted. It's alright, Mom, as a child of the 60s, along the watchtower, I can't bet they're gonna miss me. I'm only bleeding every grain in me. Fans, if it's not for you, there'd be no PE. From the Nashville skyline to the homeboys and the girls in South Country, and this world gone wrong, here's another love song.
Honestly, y'all need to stop hating on the one.
What's amazing, the surprise we told these new guys, flavor's always been crazy. Hit London 87 like it was an invasion. Toured the world for 3 years, a hell with a vacation. Vocation of vocalization, especially with the impact of it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. You bet there's blood on them bomb squad tracks. Black steel, bass heads, party for your right to fight. Prophets of rage, bring the noise and don't believe the hype. Can't do nothing for you, man, 911 is a joke. 20 years we got here by acting like common folk. Touring the world like a rolling stone. In the 90s came, then we welcome y'all to the terror dome. Some threw it all away, instead we had something to say. Cause the streets still ended up by having no names. Since Rebel Without Applause, the beats were never the same. And by 1998, we still had game and rocked on. Rocking on, rocking on.
On the one, on the one. Honestly, y'all need to stop hating on the one.
Chastised for naming names. What was said and who said it? Anti nothing, so forget it. Tears of rage left a friend blowing in the wind. But time has got been back for 10 years and black again. Some of them same cats help usher in gangster rap. Damn, our interviews were better than a lot of them acts. Praise the gangster just for the soul. While consciousness went from platinum and it shrunk down to gold. Seen the nation reduced by the power to gin and juice. Some people gave it up and they turned it loose. And rocked on.
Stop hating on the one,
Brahms, I want some James Brown, even Bruce Bryan, Bono Beck, yeah, Chuck Berry, Prince Stevie Sly, Smokey Johnny Cash, and my Chevy. Heard some call me Uncle Tom, now that's petty. I'm a songwriter, fool, I could did sense from right and wrong. I'm living in the Kia, protest songs from basement tapes. Beyond them dollars and cents, changing to the guard spent. Now where the hell the majors went? Most of their time out of mind, hating my message rhymes. Can't trust it, shut them down, call it what you wanted. They made a day fit for a king by the time we got to Arizona. Tomorrow's a long time, got God on our side. Over bass and drum beats, hear the good rhymes ride. There's a poison going on, there's a shelter from the storm. Hard rain's gonna fall, still the people rock on, we rock on. Blood, sweat, no tears.
Honestly, y'all need to stop hating on the one. Honestly, y'all need to stop hating on the one. Y'all need to stop hating on the one. On the one. Honestly, y'all need to stop hating on the one.
It was Public Enemy, Long and Winding Road. And you're listening to Democracy North here at Media Mornings in Coast Salish territory. I'm Angela Marie MacDougall, hosting today. And thank you, Jane, for being on the dials there. And one of the things that we've been talking about, this morning is looking at Black futures in commemoration of Black History Month 2017. And certainly here in Coast Salish territory, Vancouver, we when we talk about Black people, we often want to recognize Hogan's Alley, which was the local and unofficial name for Park Lane, which was an alley that ran through the southwestern south corner of Strathcona. During the first six decades of the 20th century, it ran between Union and Pryor Streets from approximately Main Street to Jackson Avenue. In the 1970s, most of Hogan's Alley was destroyed as the Vancouver City government was constructing the Georgia Viaduct. And it was the first phase of a planned interurban freeway that originally went through Hogan's Alley and much of Chinatown and Gastown. Here we are in 2017, and the conversation about the viaducts is happening again as the city of Vancouver is contemplating the removal of the viaducts. You know, we were always thinking a lot about Hogan's Alley, and this morning we have two wonderful women, Antonio Agundale and Stephanie Allen, who are both doing really very interesting work in addressing urban planning and housing. And I'd like to just check in with them both right now. Hi, Antonio and Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've been having conversations, of course, about this question, are there any Black people in Vancouver? And we, as you've both been part of the Hogan's Alley Working Group, that's a part of revisioning Falls Creek and the idea about recognition and honoring and access and inclusion and where Black people fit in that with the history, you know, with the, what we know about the history of Hogan's Alley. And I'm wondering if you both would be willing to share your thoughts about what that, you know, the question about, are there any Black people in Vancouver?
I'll jump in first, I guess, and on that is that it's funny when the question comes to me, it's like, are there any Black people in Vancouver? And the person asking me is looking at a Black person in Vancouver. I think the answer is fairly straightforward. There are Black people in Vancouver, mind you. There's not a large population, mm-hmm. But the population that we do have here, what I found in recently moving to Vancouver, is quite strong and active and really, really coming together, particularly in recent times and of recent history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stephanie, I know that you've been looking at this whole thing about urban renewal and the, you know, and where Black people fit in that. I think you've done some research and have been looking at, you know, in regions, I guess, in the United States and in Canada. Can you tell us a bit about your understanding of what it means to have a neighborhood like Hogan's Alley, you know, be destroyed and the displacement of a community that, you know, such as the Black community, at, you know, in Hogan's Alley?
Sure. You know, ethnic enclaves, as they're called and referred to, pop up over North America, partially in part because folks weren't welcome in other neighborhoods. Banks wouldn't give them loans for houses in other spots. Landlords wouldn't rent to them. So they had to form community in places where they could, where that resistance wasn't present, oftentimes in the least desirable areas. But in so doing, folks who came together in those areas, who shared these common pressures, you know, really formed a strong sense of social bonds and community. Mm. There were informal economies, there were formal economies, there were the kinds of things that, you know, we see in old photographs and old movies of folks calling from the porch to the neighbor child who they know by name and that kind of thing. So it was a very vibrant place in spite of the pressures and even violence that was bearing down on it.
So right now there is an effort for the city of Vancouver to kind of, you know, look at the neighborhood, look at, you know, sort of planning around that part of the city in terms of the viaducts and Hogan's Alley. And Tony, I know that you've been doing some work there and you're sitting on a working group looking at a number of different things. Would you care to tell our listeners a bit about that, sort of what's being contemplated and what issues maybe are emerging through that process?
Yeah, I think I'll just maybe bring up firstly was the fact that what this conversation about the viaducts coming down is not something that had just come up recently. Recently, there it had been kind of a number of years past where this conversation had come up before, and it was actually the efforts of the Black community, and not just the Black community, but the broader community in petitioning when they were giving their testimonies to council that really put this on the table to recognize Hogan's Alley. So it became one of the focuses in terms of the overall Northeast Falls Creek redevelopment to ensure that there was some level of recognition of Hogan's Alley within the broader plan. And so a working group has been pulled together with representatives across the Black community, those that have historical knowledge, those that are descendants, those that in fact lived on the land there, and again, other interested parties are coming around the table to start, you know, imagining what could this what could this community look like, but within the context of recognizing our contemporary needs of the Black community as well. So the need to acknowledge that when you ask the question, like, are there Black people here, it demonstrates the erasure of the Black history here in Vancouver. And I'll even go even broader in just in terms of the erasure of Black history in Canada in general and what's being learned. So whether that be including a cultural center that captures this history, a place where there, again, is arts, culture, and these community groups that are not just in Vancouver but across the region that represent different cultural organizations, a place where the Black community can land and find community with each other. Other needs that have also been brought up by the community included, you know, affordable housing, child care, healing spaces for the amount of trauma that happens in the community just from, you know, existing in this society as well. So there have been a lot of different ideas, but in the end, it really is that kind of center place, that place where, you know, people can go and acknowledge that, you know, there was a history of a Black community there, but at the same time acknowledging, yes, there are Black people here in Vancouver. But then, sorry, another piece to it is just the acknowledgement of the city, of the racist policies that were put in place that dismantled and displaced that community is something that has really come to the surface as a need when talking about Hogan's Alley and the erasure of the community, recognizing the city's role in that and the city acknowledging that fact. Has also come up as a big part of this work as well.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, as a, you know, you've been studying urban studies and a grad student in urban studies. How do, as a Black woman, you know, studying urban studies, what do you notice in terms of representation and space and where sort of, you know, Black people fit within, you know, urban planning?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I've been in this career of real estate development in the United States and Canada now for 15 years, and I have never sat at a table with anyone that looks like me. Mm-hmm. I've never worked with a Black woman or a Black man in a professional capacity, and that includes engineers, architects, real estate developers, city planners. And so as that stark realization really hits me more and more in my career, there's a definite absence, which is creating a lack of inclusion as we plan cities. So, because how can we really include the perspectives of everyone when everyone is not present? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be really clear, we live in a racist you know, societies. So, of course, racism has its tentacles into everything. And planning and real estate development is just another place where this is enacted. You know, as Anthonia was speaking about the city of Vancouver, they specifically said in their planning documents in 1957 that they knew they were going to disrupt this community. They knew it was going to cause what they called special problems for the residents there, and that efforts should be made to prevent future ethnic enclaves in the city.
Hmm.
That is very black and white in their intention. And the as we talk about black futures, and our present, the impacts have been lasting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So really, it's thinking about when, as we start to move forward and we look at what's missing, is this an opportunity, as Anthony was saying, to bring together the black community to start having more of a role in the planning of our cities?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it starts here.
So that begs the question for both of you. Tell us what you think about black futures.
I see the black futures as extremely, extremely bright. Stephanie and I have had a lot of really good conversations, and I think a lot of the conversations that we've had are mirroring other conversations we're having with black people within this community. I think that just overall, again, making mention of the times and what's happening in the States, and just this kind of broader social consciousness into understanding intersectional identities and systems of oppression. I think that what black people have been shouting for so many years is at least kind of starting to crack to the surface. And I think what's even more beautiful is that a lot more black people are stepping out, particularly in professional spaces. Whereas, you know, usually we're kind of told to keep our heads down and keep on working. You don't want to rock the boat too much. What I'm finding is a lot more professionals are stepping out and starting to actively engage with their brothers and sisters in these advocacy spaces that have been holding that space for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a unity across the black community that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, the future is bright.
And how about for you, Stephanie?
You know, I think it's a good point because unity a lot of times comes from pressure when we have to stick together. Jennifer Nelson, who researched the Africville community, said that the notion of a united black community, which exists on its own terms and is subject to the same rights and freedom as the greater white community, was and remains inconceivable. And I would like us to disrupt that.
Mm.
I would like to see our future move into a way where we are not only just looking for a place at the table, but what if we start building our own tables? And what if our tables are actually more and better suited to the kind of needs in our community? I think strongly that when we start bringing our lens and our own cultural standards and the kinds of things that we experience in our community to the capacity of city building, to learning, to all the areas in which we are currently occupying but perhaps may not be leading, I think we're going to see a change for the better that's going to benefit everyone in the community, everyone in our neighborhoods.
Stephanie Allen, Anthonia Ogundale, thank you both for joining me this morning on Democracy North with Media Mornings.
Thanks, Angela.
Real life preservation, what I'm hustling for. My name, Black Thought, the definition of raw. I was born in South Philly on a cement floor. We had nothing at all. I had the knuckle and brawl. They swore I'd fall or be another brick in the wall. Another life full of love and loss. That's silly, this Philly. Y'all really ain't stopping the ball. With the pen like Willie on top of the hall. Pure soul with the city most popular for. Hear the tones that'll ease you smooth as Bunny Siegler's soundtrack. Keeping your head bopping it all. And it's something in the water though where I come from. They used to sing it on the corner, yo, where I come from. Make it something.
something out of nothing, because everybody 50 cent away from a quarter to where I come from. Yeah, the streets ain't timid, but I feel at home in it. Gotta see a couple people, I ain't got it in a minute. Yeah, you could take a brother out of South Philly, can't take it out in Philly, I forever represent it.
It's been a long time since I've been back around the way. It's been a
direct, I don't need no mic check. Remember, mommy told me, PD, you ain't right there. It started in the bathroom, taking a dump. Listen to Ultra Magnetic Eagle tripping your wall. Question my word, I'm the urban version of you, chump. Stomped on a different ground, sound second to none. To synthesize the tweet, to improvise your feet. I calculated every lyric to arrive on beat. It's free, come get high on me. Before a 9mm shell hit my pelly pell on the peak. And yeah, it's something in the water, though, where I come from. They used to sing it on the corner, though, where I come from. Making something out of nothing, because everybody 50 cent away from a quarter, yo, where I come from. It's just a natural reaction for crack to make it happen. Let the pen ink sink into the paper or the bad thing. Back when I was younger, ghetto could've took me under, but PD can't mess with North Philly, never had. You don't know about me, you ain't stroll my streets. I look familiar, I feel you, long time no see.
It's been a long, long time since I've been back around the way. It's been a
something wrote whatever you clap. Clap to the record spinner while I'm taking you back to the top paper ever, baby, dig on that. Picture the pool room where the money getters was at. Them street people with the feathers in the cap of they Barcelino, pulling paper in as if it's a small casino. I was a young boy sweeping the floors and running the stores, but all the old heads would talk to me though about the way to clutch the eagle on a buck and tuck. And if I'm down, how to get back up. Just survival, kid. And it's the struggle worldwide, I'm positive. Shit, the ghetto minds worry the gods are stripped. We know where all of the monsters is. Streetwalkers, you don't see no consciousness. I'm coming back to where the core of the problem is. We on a job again, y'all know what time it is.
It's been a long, long time since I've been back around the way. It's been a since I've been back around your way. It's been a long time, long time.
Long time with the Roots. I'm Angela McDougall here with you this morning, and we're talking Black Futures 2017 here on Democracy North Media Mornings. And I have the pleasure of working at Battered Women Support Services, and this month, in commemoration of February as Black History Month 2017, BWSS is presenting Standing on Points of Power, Self-Possession for Black Women group. And here this morning to talk about the group is the woman that's leading it, Teresa Thomas, who's a women's counselor at Battered Women's Support Services. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
So thank you for joining me this morning, and you know, and thank you for this amazing vision, Standing on Points of Power, Self-Possession for Black Women. Tell us, what is your vision for the group?
That's a large question. But ultimately, when we began to discuss it, I think initially my kind of first response, I even think I said it to you, was, can we do that? You know, and it was just the shock that, you know, with all of the different groups and supports that we have for different minorities and, you know, different groups of people, that the thought of somebody producing funding for a group for Black women, even I was kind of caught off guard by it. And so I really had to kind of step back and check myself and really kind of go, this is exactly why we need this type of group. Because even as a Black woman, just it being not something that exists and not something that you can find in Vancouver, absolutely. And so really just kind of thinking about, well, what did we want? You know, what's the value of the space? Not just coming together, not just being in a room together, not just socializing, but what's the value, you know, of coming together? And it's really just, you know, like the group is saying, self-possession and finding whatever those points of power that exist in your life. And usually, you know, what I find in my work is those are things that other people have turned around to use against you, you know, to use as a stick to beat you with. And so one of the things I do in my work at BWSS with women is we're always looking for places where we can kind of capitalize and turn that back on the power for ourselves. And so just identifying what some of those things are and then going, okay, so this is a foundation that you can stand on. This is a leg up to wherever the next place you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the overall vision of the group.
So you're from Texas, and you're here in Coast Salish territory. Tell us a bit about your experiences and, you know, coming from Texas and now being here in Vancouver. Comparing and contrasting.
Right. You know, and the funny part is it's kind of not different, but it's extremely different. And when I first came, you know, I came for school to obtain my degree, my master's degree, so that I can do the amazing work that I'm doing at BWSS. But when I first came, you know, the people don't sound that different from me. You know, coming from Houston, it's a very large city. It's very diverse. It's very fast paced, you know, so it's not an initial culture shock. So it really took time to kind of be in the space when one day, I think it was about 6 months when I was here, that all of a sudden I just became really aware of how Black I was, you know, and that's kind of a strange thing to say because it's not something that I'm overly preoccupied with. The school that I, you know, I went to Adler, and I was one of two Black people in my program, and sometimes that would happen back home. You know, you'd be in a meeting with people, you'd be in a room of people, and you're the only Black person, and so even that wasn't strange, but it was just something was happening in the atmosphere where all of a sudden, about 6 months in, I became really aware, you know, I am a Black person, and that's clearly not that, that's clearly rare here because I'm feeling the strain of it. And so, you know, I really had to take some time to figure out what that was about because I'm not necessarily getting any attitude or I'm not necessarily getting any, you know, kind of obvious discrimination, but like, what is going on? And I think over time, it just became, you know, this concept of space where, you know, nobody's singling me out. But I think, you know, and it's, you know, this is something that I talked about with the, you know, the volunteers that are helping me with this program is kind of like, how do we articulate what's going on? And, you know, it's just this concept of being out in a public space and then somehow still kind of being othered. And it's really weird to describe, but it's about how space is being manipulated, I think, is ultimately what I came down to is nobody's directing anything at me, but I do notice that every so often my space around me is getting smaller. If people are just not seeing me, if I'm invisible, or if they're taking extra space for themselves because they don't really want to share as much space with me as they are, you know, it's happening on the street, it's happening on transit. And I, you know, one day downtown, I almost ran into a tree trying to get out of this person's way. And it was just kind of like, that was the day. But I had some very elaborate breakdown on the street. And it was like, oh my gosh, I can't get farther away from you if I tried, like I would be in the street, you know, and I it was just a weird kind of panic that set in. All of a sudden, I just started feeling really unsafe. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to drop out of school. I'm going to have to go home because I just became extremely aware that my safety wasn't as secure as it appears to be.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, our other guests this morning are, you know, representing a number of different kind of, you know, representations of the African diaspora here in, you know, in Coast Salish territory. And I wonder what you, I know that you're working with, as one of the volunteers, she's a woman who's coming directly from Africa. And of course, we all have our roots in Africa. And I'm wondering what you think about that, you know, as far as how, though we all have our roots in Africa as a result of enslavement, as a result of, you know, sort of historical colonial, you know, aspects and just a number of different things where we end up being here, where we have found ourselves here representing so many different places and not necessarily a shared cultural experience. And because our population is, you know, 0.5 or 1%, you know, there's we're so diverse in our you know, small population. I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are, you know, coming from Texas, where there's more a sort of maybe homogeneous kind of experiences than we have here in Vancouver.
No, I think that's a good question because it is very different. I mean, like I said, Houston and Texas is extremely diverse. So you have a lot of people that have come with their families and, you know, sometimes their whole tribes over to the States, and they they keep their customs and they keep their values and, you know, for the most part, they kind of keep to themselves. And being a Black American, you know, it's a different type of dynamic, because it's not that I'm getting any different type of regard from them, but I have no recourse. You know, it's not like I'm thinking, oh, God, I could just go home because I'm home. Mm. You know, like, I don't have any other family that I can connect to in any particular part of Africa. Like, all of my family is in Texas. So I don't even have the degree of kind of, you know, this is temporary, or I'm a visitor, or, you know, this is strange. Like, this is just my life. Mm-hmm. So coming here, it is slightly different when I meet. And a lot of the wonderful, amazing women that I have met here, they have been from Nigeria, or they've been from, you know, different places in West Africa. And they've either come to get educated so they can go back home and work with their villages, or they have a real understanding and regard for the differences between being from Africa and then being here. And then once again, I don't have that. You know, yes, I'm a visitor to Canada, but in North America, this is just my home. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm othered to that degree, it's just kind of like, well, I might as well just not even be here, you know. It's a really strange thing to have, because one of the things that the volunteer said, and her family is Nigerian, was, you know, people always assume that if you're Black and you're in Canada, you're a visitor. Mm-hmm. You know, they never assume that you're a Canadian citizen or that your family is here. And I said, you know, no, that's a really interesting point, because, yes, I am a visitor to this country, but I've been North American my whole life. My whole family is North American. I can't trace back my roots to the family that came over. I can't get on a phone and call other relatives. So when I am ousted from the society, I really feel like I have no place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, that is such a factor, isn't it, in our lives, as far as our relationship to Africa. And that's I'm always that's one of the conversations I like having with us, you know, as Black people, are, you know, where we make that connection, and, you know, and what our relationship is, both in terms of the way that we celebrate that, and also the way that we may have pain as a result of that disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was in the cab the other day, and, you know, it's a snowy day and I'm just trying to get home. And he kept asking, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Like, and it was almost like a disbelief that, like, how did I find my way in Canada? And I just said, oh, I'm just down Commercial there, like, where you pick me up. And he was like, no, where are you from? And I said, oh, well, I live in Burnaby. That's where we're going. And he's like, no, like, where are you from? And so then we had to have that conversation, and then it just kind of gets awkward. And so, you know, even when I'm just kind of passively, you know, minding my own business or kind of existing, I find that people are really looking to kind of exception me out of the Canadian or Vancouver population. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird thing that happens in conversation, where you talk to somebody long enough and you walk away from that conversation feeling so disconnected. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what just happened? I don't, you know, I thought we were talking about cheese. And then all of a sudden I feel extremely orphaned. And it's a really weird kind of development that happens.
So we've been talking about Black futures, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts about Black futures.
In what regard?
If you think about, you know, Black people, what is the future for Black people?
I mean, that's a pretty, you know, once again, I think it's really large, because yes. I think it a lot of it depends on kind of the environment that they're in, you know. The work that I do as a counselor is so systemic, and we invite that into the room because we understand that a large degree of your distress is simply coming from the atmosphere. It's coming from the environment. You know, we can create a safe space in the office, but then you go out into the world and then you're re-traumatized all day long. And so I think that's a huge component when we talk about Black futures, because, you know, you can be in it. That's why I think this group that we're doing is so important, because you can be in this place where people are moving and shaking and growing, and, you know, you feel very energized. And then, like I said, on the same component, you feel so disconnected, you know, and then you find your distress rising. All of a sudden, somebody, you know, like me, who maybe is kind of anxious but doesn't have a lot of panic, just starts having panic attacks. It's very bizarre. And then you immediately feel isolated. And it's not anything I'm doing, because I'm kind of just breathing and waiting for the bus. So it's like, I don't know how to stop it from happening. And so then in that moment, my future gets really bleak, because then I'm running away from, you know, my schooling. I'm running away from this career that I desperately want. I'm running away from these people that I want to help. And I'm thinking, okay, I have to go back to Texas, you know, and get to a safe place. So it needs to getting to safety, you know, on a day-to-day basis. My future changes upon to how supported I feel and how grounded I feel. So it wasn't until I got, you know, kind of aware of what was happening and then got connected that I thought, okay, well, then it's really important for me to stay here. And it's really important for me to stay here, you know, not just for, you know, the Black women that I'm working with, but also for the other people who have come over here with all of these hopes and aspirations. And then after a period of time, you notice you're just feeling really distanced from where you're trying to go. And then that has the potential to regress you. You know, and coming from, you know, Houston, I love Houston. I love Texas. I love any environment where, like, a bunch of Black people are just kind of living their lives. It's a very exciting place to be. But if you have been born there and raised there and, you know, that's where your ancestors were slaves and then that's where you grew up, you know, the possibility of seeing beyond that gets really muddled. And so then your future changes, because you're not necessarily surrounded by people that are moving and shaking and trying to, you know, people are just trying to survive, and get caught in that. Then all of a sudden you're really disconnected and distanced, even though you're surrounded by your family, you know? So I think the concept of, you know, Black futures, I think it changes. I think it changes from block to block around here. I think it changes from day to day.
So,
and I would like to see more consistency.
Standing on points of power, self-possession for Black women, as you've written, to illuminate the presence of Black women in Vancouver by creating a unique space where Black women can unapologetically come together with a positive regard and respectful consideration of their lived experiences as Black women. When does the group start, and how can people get, how can women get in contact to attend?
The group starts Thursday, February 23rd, and it's from 2 to 4 in the BWSS offices. They can call BWSS. I don't have that number, but I know that you do.
604-687-1867.
Absolutely. And any one of the amazing women that answer the phone should be able to give you information and get you connected to me and get you set up. You know, and my suggestion would be, if you're unsure of what you think the space is going to be, just show up. Because the truth is that the space gets created the minute that you guys show up. Because we're really feeding off of each other's energies, and we're really kind of creating that space together. So we kind of need you there to be able to create the healthiest and strongest and, you know, most fire-filled space that we can have. So
Thank
just
you.
Show up. Give it a chance.
Thank you, Teresa. It was Teresa Thomas, Women's Counselor at Bata Women's Support Services, and standing
Thank
on points
you.
Of power. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No problem. You guys have a great day.
And thank you. And this has been Black Futures 2017 on Democracy North Media Mornings. And I want to thank our guests. We've had Adeline Bird and Alexa Joy, as well as Antonio Agundale and Stephanie Allen. And then that was Teresa Thomas just now. And I want to thank lovely Jane. Thank you so much for sharing the space.
It was great. I had the opportunity to listen and learn a lot. So thank you for giving me that opportunity.
My absolute pleasure. And I think we're going to end today the segment with more Public Enemy.
Yes, we are. And following this, stay tuned for El Busto de las Siete and listen to Media Mornings Democracy North the rest of the week from 7 to 8 a.m.
Yo, Chuck, what's the move, man? I was on my way up here to the studio, you know what I'm saying? And this brother stopped me and asked me, yo, what's up with that brother, Chucky D? He swear he nice. I said, yo, the brother don't swear he nice. He knows he's nice, you know what I'm saying? So, Chuck, I got a feeling you're turning into a public enemy, man. Now, remember that line you was kicking to me on the way out to L.A. Lounge in Queens while we was in the car on our way to the shop? Well, yo, right now, kick the bass for them brothers and let them know
what goes on. Rolling Stones of the rap game, not bragging. Lips bigger than Jagger, not sagging. His brother backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at? Cause great responsibility. F the police. Who's stopping you from killing me? Disaster fiascos are looped by PE. If it's I instead of we believe in TV. Spreading rich and bitches. This new thing about snitches. Watch the masses move as the masses switches. System distant but barely missed her. My soul intention to save my brothers and sisters. Get up.
This like that. What you gotta do, you got to tell them just like that, you know what I'm saying? Cause yo, man, let me tell you a little something, man. These brothers running around, hard-headed, they get a little jealous, you know what I'm saying? Just like that, you know, they try to bring you down with them. But yo, Chuck, you got to tell them just like that.
Screaming gangster 20 years later, of course endorsed while consciousness faded. New generation believe in them fables, gangster bookie on two turntables. So no love, so it's easy to hate it. Desecrated while the current awaited. Any given Sunday, so where y'all reigning? With slavery lynching and them drugs infiltrated. I'm like that doll Chucky, baby. Keep coming back to live love life like I'm crazy. Keep it moving, rising to the top. Duck first, clean living, you don't stop. Revolution means change, don't look at me strange. So I can't repeat what other rappers be saying. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Harder than you think is a beautiful thing.